Good.
Awesome. Awesome.
We're live.
There we go.
Awesome.
Okay.
It's a slight delay. All right, y'all. So we were having a family discussion, as we usually do. And what was that, on Sunday?
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah.
And so we thought that we talked about maybe making a podcast or doing a live stream. Something. And then, like, let's just do a live stream.
Yeah. And this is going to be a bonus podcast.
And this is going to be a bonus podcast.
Okay. Yeah, we're just going to throw it on there.
Okay.
For all of our podcast
listeners. All of our podcast listeners. We're getting ready to get to surpass 10,000 downloads. So that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
And got some cool guests lined up. So that's cool. So definitely subscribe to the Fearless Podcast. Okay. And leave us a review. And you weren't first, Carlos, but you know, we forgive you.
Close.
Really close.
We wanted to talk about raising, you know, we mentioned this topic. We referenced postmodern deconstruction quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of reference this, because what I see is, you know, we have this dialectic in society. We have this conservative, and then we have this liberal, and somehow they're diametrically opposed but almost the same and all these different things. And the narrative has been slated that you know, something like, for example, Make America Great Again, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, on the deepest level of that concept, really it's just talking about financial prosperity and people being nice to each other. Mm-hmm. But it's so much greater than that. And the reality is even these people that subscribe or hold to this whole kind of like Make America Great Again, you know, remember the 50s, you know, or something. Because I think honestly, before all the previous social turmoil and division of the 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. with all the CIA, Tavistock, and all these different agents and coadjutors and MLK and all stuff, and Malcolm X and all that stuff. The 50s is probably that era that we can think back to, and, you know, several, not myself included, but several people from that era are still alive and remember it in different things. Yeah. But there's so many intrinsic things about that era that nobody wants. And honestly, with this whole fourth wave feminism that is completely, it's ubiquitous on the left side, and on the right side, it's just under the surface, you know, because mm-hmm. women are just as good as men, and a woman can do anything a man can do, and you can't climb a tree in a dress. We had somebody make a comment like, open your mind. You can't climb a tree in a dress. And I said, that's why lumberjacks don't wear dresses. But see, that's all preconditioned programming.
Yeah.
When you talk about gender roles, gender appropriate clothing, and even when you say these things, we've been so conditioned and programmed and propagandized.
Y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is a bonus episode. We are talking about
your whole screen protector fell off your phone.
Okay. Put that down, please, before you break something else.
My notes.
Be careful with it.
We're talking about raising gritty children. Raising gritty young adults into raising the next generation in a soft society, and how we do it. And what I was talking about while we had ultra terrible audio,
yes,
was
for 10 minutes,
you know, these notions of something like Make America Great Again. And when we think of it intellectually, like historically, to me, and probably I would say for most people, you know, some people are thinking of the 80s and 90s, and I'm an 80s and 90s kid. And while the the fabric of society wasn't as eroded to the point where it is now, I still wouldn't say that that was like a golden era.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say definitely. That there was a lot of cognitive dissonance. There was a lot of, you know, the punk culture and the grunge culture
sure.
and still the,
rebellious
yeah. culture, you know, that, yeah. that was a byproduct of the 60s and 70s yeah. and Tavistock and all of the social engineering
yeah.
and, along with, you know, LSD and Edmund Bernays and then, Terrence McKenna and all that, you know, all the toad licking, you know, stamp licking, whatever, tripping, be tripping.
Don't scare all the ladies.
And, and people will attach themselves to a slogan like "Make America Great Again."
Mm-hmm.
And, but really what they mean is, well, if we could just have a nicer, cleaner society, that was, fiscally responsible and yeah. financially mm-hmm. prosperous. That's really like the epitome of what our society has become, even from like a Republican Democrat thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when that whole Republican thing wave happened. Well, I'm a fiscal conservative, you mm-hmm. know, everything else. I'm a blue haired liberal, mm-hmm. but I'm a fiscal conservative like Arnold, you know?
Yeah.
And,
screw your freedom.
Yeah. 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 Thanks, Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you immigrated here.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, while people like this notion of America being great again,
yeah,
they want it to be a tagline. They want it to be a, TikTok short.
Yeah.
They want it to be a phrase and kind of like a byword.
Well, they want it. So then they can just be like, well, we're going to make America great again by putting in no input except for voting harder.
Right.
And voting the right guy in. That's all that matters.
There's no effort.
You know, I don't have to change my lifestyle or anything that I'm doing. All I have to do is put all of my burdens and problems on this one guy or on this one politician.
Yeah, all of our hopes and dreams. And this way, you know, if all I have to do is vote, yeah. right, and be involved or sure. whatever that stuff is, the rest of my time, I'm free to play, have all my hobbies and hit all these sports balls all over the place yeah. and take the kids to soccer and all these different things, you know. And all of this is kind of like synthesized, mechanized. But the reality is society, all of these different things have what are symptoms of a greater yeah. cause or
it's how issue. We got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all those things.
And this yeah. greater, this deconstructionization, this postmodern destruction of the nuclear family. And Western society, Western culture, Christian ethos, Christian work ethic, Christian concepts, you know, we really want to make America great again, but as long as we don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. You know, I like a classic example, you know, what all these degenerates do in their bedroom is their business. And I'm not going to spew any kind of retarded like Christian nationalism or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like what all these degenerates do in their bedroom is totally fine and great. You just can't indoctrinate my kids.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work like that. This is the indoctrination, the story hour at the public library, and these manifestations of all these parades in June and July and everywhere else and all that stuff. These are all the fruit of that previous fruits, you know, the Fruit Loops and the Frosted Flakes from the 80s and 90s and they that predominantly live in San Francisco and all these other things. And, you know, you can't say that because, you know, that's terrible and you're mean or whatever. But the reality is one birthed the other. And now we're supposedly going to try to clean up the fruit and the results of that while ignoring the systemic problem, you know, and we have this collapsing demographic And we want to continue to act like, because we're open-minded and we're progressive, you know, right or left, it's the same thing, you know, yeah. because you have to all have the same talking points, because if you don't, you're a Luddite or you're this patriarchal, misogynistic, you know, homophobe or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and it's all of these talking points to manipulate you and to psychologically deconstruct you.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we wanted to talk about is, yeah. you know, how do we raise, and it's not as easy as, like, you know, Tim Kennedy, this ex-military MMA guy, you know, they got these apogee schools, right? And it's going to be like these Socratic schools and all these different things. And, you know, you're going to send your kids there and pay money and yeah. be involved, and that's going to fix it or whatever. And it's just not, because you can't, nobody can replace an absent father.
No, absolutely not.
You know what yeah, I mean? No. And there are tragedies and realities in life where these things happen. Yeah. And so then people are like, well, what are you saying? Everybody that has a divorced home or doesn't have a father is like
no
a castaway. No, but we still have to be realistic about reality.
Yeah.
And what certain foundation fundamental truths that are absolutely true, and they don't change because of other people's circumstances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what's so tragic. And, you know, and that's another part of postmodern deconstructionism. Everything's relative to the person.
Sure.
And, well, that's your truth. And it was very interesting. I was at work and we were at a sales meeting, and one of my managers says, what's one truth that you hold that everybody in here probably disagrees with, right? So I was like, oh boy, I'm like, do you want me to make a list or like, you know, basically everything that all y'all philosophically hold as what your core fundamentals are, like, I believe the exact opposite of that. And this was really interesting. I thought this was great because I didn't say it. And he said, here, I'll give you an example. He said,
okay.
TD over there, this is what TD believes.
Uh-oh.
He said, TD believes that women and wives should stay at home, raise, rear, train the children, guide the home, make the home a productive proponent of society that's driving. You know, we used to say taglines like the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand yeah. that rules the world.
And it is.
And people used to write books about all the quotes of George Washington's mother, Susanna Wesley,
yeah,
and all these different things, right? And it sounds great, and it makes and it's cool sound bites,
sure,
and everything, and it's quotes, you know, that we can post on Twitter and we can make memes about yep. it. And the reality is that, but it's all the layers that go with it.
There's so much more to it. Yeah.
The thousands of hours, the thousands of dollars, there's yeah. all of the sacrifice, you know, cause they've deconstructed and destroyed our monetary supply and our gold backed currency to one, create the two income earner household, cause they get double the taxes. But two, to deconstruct the woman,
yep.
to destroy femininity, to destroy motherhood. There's a lot of people do it. And, you know, I appreciate what they're doing. You can't be a part-time mother, you know.
No.
You can't be a part-time career woman and a part-time mother.
Every single one that I've seen that's tried to pull it off, it's... they're just, their kids aren't like fully there.
Because right, your kid, like I was, my mom stayed at home
yeah.
and raised me, you know, and I went to the public propaganda camps. I went to the the Guberman schools and all that stuff. Yeah. But the power of my mother staying home and raising me and training me helped to partially circumvent the government school system. But what happens when you have all of that, you know, you have a mother, she's torn between her career.
Yep.
And then because of her career and the kids and their activities, right?
Yeah.
Then everybody has to split the responsibilities. Well, mom shouldn't always have to cook the meal and wash the dishes and the clothes and all these different things. Right. But sure. You're right. Welcome to 2024.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding. Yeah, you were right. That's great. Thanks, Dr. Spock. And thank you, complementarianism and egalitarianism. And, you know, we're the collective and we're the hive mind. We're the Borg. We make all decisions unilaterally, you know, democratically.
Yeah, it's so interesting that they've been able to degrade motherhood to this extent, like where they can degrade it to the point of like when you say I'm a stay-at-home mom, people or other moms will be like, so what do you do? Mm-hmm. Like sit around and eat bonbons, you know, or something stupid like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was listening to Nick Freitas, and he was saying there's been some studies done or reports written on this, and to replace everything that the stay-at-home mom does with somebody to do that job, her stay-at-home mom career of raising her own kids, it would cost up to $200,000 to hire it all out.
Right.
You know?
Well, in the reality.
So if you think about it like that, she's making $200,000+ a year by raising her kids. Plus, on top of that, she's going to have some of the most intelligent kids on the planet, you know?
You're going
to
have
that are going to be able to just be able to cope with life, mm-hmm. let alone when
not cope with life, but excel.
Past. Yeah.
Yeah. And be productive.
Yep.
And be exponentially productive. Yep. And the reason that I wanted us to try to maintain this channel on ThemTube and all that stuff was I'm like, look, I want to be this encouragement.
Yes.
I want people to watch our children develop. And look, we are normal, fallen creatures saved by the grace of God.
Totally not perfect.
We have, nothing with, by the grace of God, all that we have, anything that we achieved, anything that we have done right for a millisecond is by the grace of God. It's not by, it's definitely not because I'm smart. All right. I am not smart. Yeah. And when I say that, that's not like this false humility or anything. I'm not smart. My brother and my sister are exponentially smarter than me. They got all the brains. Okay.
Well, you were a twin, so.
And I was a twin.
That's where they all
were. And, you know, and it was kind of like that Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger twin, and I'm Danny DeVito kind of thing. It's, you know, anything, but okay.
Yeah.
But I say that to say this, we read and studied the Bible and we saw the truths that were in it. And we would say, hey, we're going to do our best to do that. And unfortunately, in modern Christianity and churches and all these different things, they have so adopted the culture and deified higher education.
Yeah.
And even, you know, and this is even within churches that supposedly promote homeschooling and stay home moms, this fourth wave feminism and this postmodern deconstructionism that's directly tied to higher criticism, lower criticism, textual criticism. And I mean, do we even have a Bible? I mean, come on, man. How do we even know what it says? You know, this is all part of that deconstruction process. That's why we talk about this so much. And so how you rebuild or how you start you know, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's 5 minutes from now, is you have to go back to that point, and you have to go back to that reference and start new. You definitely have to ditch all of your preconceived notions, all of your pre-programmed notions. Mm-hmm. There's so much, you know, and I could give lots of examples and illustrations, even geopolitical ones. But, and if I tried to use some of them, this would definitely get ultra shadow banned.
Well, I think the other thing too is with this, this type of Christianese that's out there, and you can get really, like, when you're trying to do really good and you're trying to raise your kids right, I think, and as Christian kids, like Christian kids raised up in a very sinful world and raised up with other Christian kids that take Christianity very lightly and kind of really want to be really rebellious and don't listen to their parents and do the wrong things. It is definitely a struggle. And then also as a younger person, a younger guy, like you kind of feel like sometimes I do get depressed because I'm like, what the heck? You know, like, sure. This is like, the only person, which that's the other reason why it's ideal to have either a very strong man in your life, if you do not have a father to look up to, but you do need somebody to look up to. If you do not have a man at all, the number one is God that you should be looking up to first. Next down, if you do have a father, that would be the next down to be looking up to. Mm-hmm. But if you don't say, oh, I don't have a grandfather, you know, a stepdad or your actual father, then your father in heaven, definitely to be looking up to. But, you can definitely easily get depressed and being like, you know, like, what the heck's wrong with all these people? Why in the world don't they just want to, you know, serve the Lord and, you know, preach the hard things and do what's right, you know, and you can start thinking that and, kind of just get depressed about it. But then you have to remind yourself that the only thing that you can change is yourself.
That's right.
You know, that's the only person. Well, no, that's the only person you can control is yourself and what you do. That's right. So you have to stop thinking about what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, if they ask questions and stuff like that, you know, you can absolutely, you know, tell them your opinion on something if they ask for it or whatever. Or suggest, give them good suggestions and things like that, and be a good witness and a testimony to them, you know. Just mainly, you know, making good decisions, and you can only control yourself. That's what I've learned.
That's right. Yeah. And the change has to start with you. You have to be the one to make sure that you are being authentic and you're living an authentic life. And those that are seeking truth will be drawn to that.
Exactly.
And they will come to you and they will ask you questions. And then that's when you have that opportunity to share. And truth is self-evident, and you can find lots of people online on YouTube that, you know, used to be career women, used to be working moms, all these different things, came like from similar backgrounds as me and my husband, you know, public school, born and raised, state colleges, all that kind of thing, career people. And, you know, and then truth is self-evident. And when you are confronted with the truth, then you have some decisions to make as far as what you're going to do with it and how you're going to apply it. And I know for me and my husband back 25 years ago, We didn't have YouTube. So we found some really conservative Christian families that wrote some books. And we had a very conservative pastor who was raising a large family himself. And we dove into those books and we read things and we considered our ways, and we considered before we even had a baby yet, how we were going to raise boys to produce a single family income.
Yeah. And I'll say this too, you know, when we first got married, like, you know, a lot of my friends went to Christian school, and I'm like, my kids aren't going to Christian school because those people are fake. Most of those people are fake. And I was a professing Christian at the time. I was not a regenerate, born again Christian. I was a professing Christian, and I was like, you know, my kids are going to go to public school and all this stuff. Right. And now look, you know, people change.
Sure.
And, yeah. Which is why I love having the conversation because, people change.
Yeah.
You know, and it's why it's important. Like Matt and Faith were saying, and it's exactly like, you know, it's exactly like when we talk about permaculture, and it's why I quote Bill Mollison, permaculture is sedition, right? It's be the change, right? Mm-hmm. It's you. It's like, you know, are you, you know, and if you want to correlate it to permaculture, are you going to compost that? Or are you just going to throw it in the trash can? It's easier. It's easier to just throw it in the trash can and it'll go in the landfill forever. It's easier. But do you believe, do you practice what you believe? See, and this comes right back to Christianity, Christian principles. Like, we can exegete from the book of Romans and go verse by verse, right? And have all literally the knowledge of time to have Christ in written form, right? And we can exegete that and go all the way through it correctly. We can reference, you know, commentators and the Strong's, whatever, and I wouldn't recommend that, but and all this stuff, right? And if we don't put any practical application with that, it is so, it's one, it's simple, because if you put no practical application with that, no practical illustrations, no modern current stuff,
right?
It's especially for the upcoming, you know, we go to a family integrated church, which is the way I believe that God intended it to be. And if you're not giving practical illustrations about come out from among her, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, come out of her, my people, you know, be not partaker of her sins. And if you talk about de-Egyptianizing people, right, and you're supposed to de-Egyptianize or whatever, and you don't practically unpack that and demonstrate it and talk about it, it's literally worthless. And you'll continue to listen and listen, and you'll hear the precepts and principles, but without practical application, it's vain.
Right, exactly. And faith without works is dead. And, you know, how will you know them? By their works, and their works are going to show you that their faith is real. Now, we're all going to fall short, and none of us are perfect, but it's that seeking that truth and that knowledge. And Wilmer, you know, God is not going to stalk anybody. God's not going to hunt anybody down. God's not going to come and find you. You're going to have to seek the Lord if you want him and you want truth. God is not a stalker.
Yeah. And God loved the world at the cross. You will only find God's love at the cross. Yeah.
And if he's put that in you to seek him in truth, then
you'll find him.
Then you will find him. But, but that's how, if you're just waiting for it to happen, for him to prove his existence to you, he doesn't have to prove his existence to anybody. He's God. So he's not out to, he doesn't need us for anything. So
as far as the New Testament, and the Old Testament, we cannot understand the Old Testament without the New Testament. We are completely misguided, blinded, and lost, and we don't dwell in types and shadows. Jesus Christ is fully manifest in the New Testament and all of the types and shadows and the mystery of godliness that was concealed in the Old Testament is divinely revealed, right. is divinely revealed in the New Testament. And we cannot understand the Old Testament without the light of John 1. Just read John 1. And if you have a problem with that, your problem is you've been post-modernly deconstructed by textual criticism, and the fruit of it is like all this Hebrew roots nonsense and Yahweh and Yahweh and all this stuff, you know? Right. Yeah. Because God speaks English too.
So one of the things getting back to our topic of the night was that, you know, one of the things that we did real early on before we even had children were, was that we sought out these, like I'm talking maybe two books, like we didn't read like tons of books, but there was two that were really,
Everybody Hates Paul,
good and practical and applicable. And these families were proven and true and they had raised adult children. And we were like, okay, we're going to consider what they're saying because that's the result that we want. So from that point on, as we had children, we had some ideas in place that were like, okay, what is the end result that we want with our children and with our family? And what do we want our home life to look like? And what do we want our adult children to look like here at the end? And we're gonna be working towards that direction this whole time. So some of the things that they covered in those books was like biblical order in the home, mother and father, discipleship of the children, work ethic as a team, as a family team, building on the strengths of each child, encouraging independence in your children, and limiting any type of outside negative influences that would pull your children from what you were trying to do with them. Because a lot of this is counterculture to the world that we live in today. Yeah. So I don't know if you wanted to like take some of these things.
Sure. And,
like,
I mean,
so the first one was biblical order in the home.
Well, you know, that comes from, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, and you know, somebody was mentioning that they don't trust Paul. Okay. Paul wrote a very large portion of the New Testament. And a lot of people didn't like Paul when he was alive and why he always had to defend his apostleship, right? And it's also because Paul outlined and enumerated a lot of this illustrations and types and shadows and correlating them with the Old Testament and all these different things, you know, which, you know, a large majority of the revelation given to Paul, you know, and the only way, and look, and this has been the homologomena, antilegomena, and the construction of the 66 books in the canon, right? This was done a long time ago. And that's not an appeal to authority, but God gave his scriptures to his people and they carried it through time. They compiled it. They condensed it into a codex, into a book. Christians invented the book, y'all. I don't know if y'all knew that they invented the book, page numbers, all that cool stuff. Right. And now we have it, but they're getting on me because I'm going down a rabbit trail, but but look, this is part of it.
No, I'm laughing because Wilmer said,
oh, you're laughing at Wilmer. Said, thanks, Wilmer. Wilmer said, you're always cracking
chips. What language is TD speaking? Sounds like you just spoke a different language.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, but, and the stuff we're talking about, it, are all the things that you have to train your children. You teach your children to doubt Paul. Okay. Teach your children that Paul's some kind of Greco-pagan, Romanized, whatever, to discredit the Old Testament. And your kids, well, they might not have pink hair on the outside, but they'll have pink hair on the inside. And they won't know what a woman or a man is either. And they won't know you know, hey man, how do we trust all that stuff? I don't, you know.
Well, if you can question Paul, then you can question anybody in the Bible. You can question any portion of the Bible. And then, so then it's all up for debate. So it's all subjective.
It's all relative. It's all your truth. Yeah. That's the way you see it. That's sure. the way you understand
it. That's how people get to the point of being like, yeah, Jesus was just a really good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll just.
And it's tantamount to like the zeitgeist and the whole entire repackaged Mithraism and all this stuff, you know, and it's this not a Gnostic repackagization of all these Greek gods and all these different things. I totally get it. You're disenchanted. You visited a bunch of churches, you go there, it's smoke and lights, it's mirrors. And even if it's not right, if it's more conservative and they still wear a tie, which I usually don't wear a tie, they still wear the suits and the ties and they have all the formalities right to the extent where they have everything written in the little thing they hand you, the little program, and you read it together and the supposed like Baptist pastor absolves you of your sins and all that stuff, which that guy needs to read some
Catholic,
good
though.
Baptist books anyway. Yeah. But anyway, I get it. I get why so many people are allured to these different cults.
Yeah.
Because they were like, dude, like I'm going to get you out here before cowboy and kickoff. Like, and as soon as, wow, way to destroy the sovereignty and the holiness, the somberness, you know, and the focus, you know, we're here, we're called out, we're set apart, we're gathering together. And you're talking about talk about Greco-Romanized pagan gods.
It's the one day out of the whole entire week, right? You set apart.
Right. And let's not talk about that stuff. And for the next 6 days, let's not participate in it either. That's a practical application, but at a minimum, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's Bud Light and it's cheerleaders.
Well, I think that brings up a good point. I mean, that was one of the main, not one of the main, but that was like a minor point in one of those books that we read real early on. And you know, the husband said, you know, they never did team sports with any of their children. They never did organized sports with any of their children. They said, if you want to teach kids teamwork, have some kids and let them play together and they will very quickly learn teamwork and they're going to learn all the rules of that. Now there's nothing wrong with them playing baseball in the backyard or whatever,
exactly,
soccer, any kind of ball in the backyard. Fun, that's awesome. Or you're going to take them to the park and they want to play. But as far as like selling your soul to go take Johnny and then the five other ones that you have after Johnny, each to their individual practices and ball games.
It's not even necessarily the ball game that is bad.
No, it's
that, not. That's the ball game and the bat and the ball and you catch the ball, no, you hit the ball.
Right.
There's that's, nothing there
is,
bad
that is 100% that. Innocent. The thing that's not innocent is all the influence around that. Mm-hmm. All the little tiny, crazy, out of control little kids that like to drop the F-bomb like 8 million times a minute. Mm-hmm. Those are the kids you do not want the parents that you do not want your kids exposed to.
No, right.
Because they're going to bring all that garbage back home.
By design.
Yes. Yeah.
This was by design.
Yeah.
So that's why you might be thinking right now, you might be like, why are they just hitting on that? That's why we're touching on that.
It's because influence.
It's not the soccer ball and things like that. Mm-hmm. That is not necessarily bad. It's everything that comes with that.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
it's the atmosphere.
And it's the Tim Tebow analogy, you know. Now
I don't know what
Tim Tebow has been packaged as this Christian guy and whatever, and his parents were missionaries and all this different stuff, right? Tim Tebow. So, you know, and he did it in the name of Christianity to have a platform to present the gospel, whatever. And there's multiple understandings. There's one gospel and it's eternal. There's one gospel and it's eternal. There are multiple understandings and applications of the gospel and the way that people present it. And some people do not present it the way that the Bible presents it. But, you know, he chose this sport to excel, and it predominantly occurs on the Lord's Day, right? So if we're supposed to come out from among them and be separate and assemble and all these things. But, oh, and see, and this has pervaded right into all of secular work culture. Well, I'm an RN, so they make me work on Sunday or whatever. And, you know, my parents, when they raised me, they're like, we go to church on Sunday. We don't work on Sunday.
Yeah.
And there was a few times, one of the first jobs I had, I said, I just can't work on Sunday. I can work 6 days a week. I can't work on Sunday. They put me on Sunday. And I'm like, well, this person called out. I said, look, I'm going to help you out. I'll do it this one time. Mm-hmm. And then they put me on next Sunday. And I said, look, I'm not doing this. When you hired me, I told you, oh, what are you quitting? I said, no, just take me off Sunday and we're good. You know, no, you're going to have to work this Sunday. And I'm like, well, if I have to work this Sunday, then I do quit. So I did just quit. Wow. You know, you hired me with the expectation, understanding that I wasn't going to do it. You supposedly needed it one time. And now you're going to
that's exploit north for you
and extort me. Right. And if you have character and principles and it meet, and I was lost, y'all, I was lost, but I was raised with
you had standards,
a certain understanding and a certain standard.
Yeah.
And I benefited from that. And now I'm born again. I'm a new creature and I still hold to that.
Yep.
I don't deconstruct it and flush it.
Yeah.
So much of what's happened as churches fall away and slide into ecumenical primordial soup, right? Is like all the, well, you know, those old timers, you know, they would preach against this and they would preach against that, but like, you know, it don't really, you know, it's the modern generation having zero regard for what was actually greasing the wheels and the skids and the practical application of what made our culture function in a much more Christian way, not some stupid like Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, or, you know, some kind of this, all these goofy Christian nationalist nonsense stuff. No, I'm talking about the influence on the fabric of American society where people had shame. Yeah. Maybe they didn't have shame, but you know what? They weren't going to put on a rainbow tutu and poop in the middle of the street, whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, or in a litter box in their school.
Yeah. Which is happening at the smallest schools, y'all. It's incredible. But I digress. So you were talking about biblical order in the home. And that would be a top-down patriarchal, right? And people get so
was all biblical order in them.
Right there.
People get so geeked out about that. But that's what it says. You know what I mean?
They say men's brains aren't circular, but.
Well, I'm going off your notes.
Oh, that's how you came back to it. Mm-hmm.
I came back to that.
Okay. Yes.
Wilmer, we know that. We know that you play nice, so I appreciate you.
Oh yeah.
And I think that the Lord's gonna save you. That's just me. That's
everybody's y'all are welcome here. Y'all are doing good. Yeah. Carlos. I'm glad Carlos is in the mix.
And then yes, mother and father discipling their children. And this comes back to thus saith the Lord, this is what the scripture says. Now here's the thing. This is how this practically works. Okay. Cause I can like exegete and eisegete and I can give you illustrations, a historical speculation about Sosthenes and all these different things. Right. And I can do all that. And it's interesting and it's neat to consider, but practically it's from a practical standpoint, it's worthless. You know, that's great. And that's higher level stuff. And if you want to spend some time on that, that's good. But we're trying to raise and rear a family. So we got to start at the beginning and stay down here, you know, at the fundamental foundational level and have a practical understanding of, because we're still in biblical times. Okay. We're still in biblical times. And it wasn't, well, back in Bible times. And that's what's fascinating too, because we see this order established in the New Testament. We see a patriarchal order. We see headship. We see this responsibility and who's responsible for what. Mm-hmm. And then when you shirk responsibility, then you don't expect everything to explode. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a modern day blot, fill in the pragmatic excuse for brainwash nonsense.
Nope.
Yeah, doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And we can testify to that because we've tried it. We've tried to double family income and it does not work. It's a million times harder on the wife because even if you split responsibilities at home between you, it adds confusion.
And you make less money.
There's less money.
Yeah.
It seems like there's going to be more money, but there's not. There is because you spend so much more.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah.
More.
So,
yeah, so, talk about that more.
I mean, when I worked, but first I have to give an announcement. Okay. Hunter and can I say Heidi?
Sure.
Hunter and Heidi are having a baby girl.
Congratulations.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They're having a baby girl. Check that out.
In June. So
Spence is having a baby boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
In April.
That's so awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Young people should have
lots of babies
because really, really quick in a blink, you'll be older and you'll be like 40. And I had my last baby at 40 and it was wonderful. But then you'll be like, I think we got this thing. Like, look, we got some proof in the pudding here. Like we figured out some things here along the way. We got, you know, and we're like calmer and more mellow. And I think we can handle this baby thing. And then you're old. And the babies stop.
Like, I think I got it all figured out.
So have the babies while you can have the babies. And don't presume that you'll always have babies.
Correct.
You don't always have babies. Yeah. So that's our old people advice to all those young people who might be watching this and in the trenches with the little people right now. It's hard in those trenches. So that's why those practical books help those families that you can look at and be like, oh, look, they have adult children. Oh, look, they did it this way. And there is no system and there's no checklist, but there's biblical order and there is, you know, qualifications in scripture for the husbands in leadership to have their families in order. And if you see a family that has raised children that are in order, you can look to those families a lot of times and see what did they do to get there. And we're going to mess up, but that's our goal. You know,
right.
How do we get there? Whatever there is for you, it's going to be different for everybody. But for us, we wanted to raise boys that could provide a single family income for their spouses one day. It was really important to us because I did work before and it's a lot to do that. And it's a huge sacrifice to shift gears and come away from all of that. So we didn't want them to have that start. We wanted them to have a good biblical start in their marriages that they can start with a single family income, honor the Lord's ways and build a family that way biblically.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. You are demonstrating truth, right? So if you farm your wife out, I was a financial planner for 11 years and when you bring on a new client, they fill out a financial workbook. And so you got your income and your expenses and it was always the husband and wife and they both worked. And so they both had a vehicle, they both had insurance and they had daycare or you had your private Christian school or whatever you wanted to waste your money on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when you added up all those numbers, the couple collectively always made less than if the husband just worked. And maybe the husband's problem is he's just a wimpy, weird, softy. Maybe he's a gutless wonder, right? Maybe he doesn't have any stones or however you want me to say it, right?
Yeah.
And he needs to suck it up, buttercup. And like perform and produce and
maybe he has to work more than one job.
Yeah. One, two or three.
Yeah.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Side hustles.
And I, you know, and you want to do something incredibly amazing and it has nothing to do with me, has everything to do with God. And you know, their order, there are consequences to order, right? And build a house. So what? Who needs a foundation? Let's set the walls on the dirt. I mean, who needs a foundation? And, you know,
there's so overrated.
What I'll do is
that foundation's so offensive
this time
to me.
When I build the addition, I'm going to put a foundation there. But on the main structure, when we're starting, and we need to get started and we got to do this. So let's not do a foundation. Yeah. But when we build the addition, we'll put a foundation. And I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
The rest of the house falls down.
Yeah, it's going to be great, you know. And that's the whole point, is like we see these fundamental truths, right? Well, we don't have, you know, it's just like these parents, and they have these kids, and well, we both need to work, right? So what are you illustrating? You're illustrating your truth or whatever, right? And what you're illustrating that you believe is like the kids aren't important. Well, mommy works so that you can go to private Christian school so that somebody else can teach you and somebody can molest you in the bathroom and or whatever. Same thing. And how do you know? And how do you know? And I don't care how vetted your school is or whatever.
How small.
Yeah. And it's
You're not there 24/7.
The price of neglecting your children is exponentially higher than whatever the dollar amount.
Yeah. There's no dollar that you can put on that.
No.
And then I know guys with wives that work in the Christian school to get a discount, and they say, well, I can't teach my kid, but I can teach everybody else's kid for pennies nothing.
And this is what my grandmother said back when we had Matt was a baby. So we're going back 19 years now. And I was telling her, she was Catholic, and I was sharing with her some of these ideas that we had about parenting and all of that, and me staying home and all of those things. And she said, you know, most of the things that people think that they need right now, they don't need. Now, this is a lady who had lived through the Great Depression, grew up on a farm, lived on a farm. She said, you know, people think that they need a plate full of all these different foods, right? For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you don't. She said, you know what we had was like a piece of bread with a little bit of butter on it. And maybe we'd sprinkle some sugar on it in a cup of tea. And that was breakfast. Or dinner might be lima beans with some butter and a piece of bread, you know, and for dessert, you might have a cup of tea. And, you know, once in a while, maybe you have some fruit growing out in the garden or something like there, you know, you might have meat a couple times a week, and we're carnivores. So, you know, blasphemous, but like, you know, dinner might be spaghetti with nothing, no meat sauce, nothing like spaghetti. That's it. You know, like just very basic, you know, you don't need, I remember her saying, you don't need two vehicles. You know,
that's true.
You don't need two vehicles. Yeah. And people think they do, and they think that they need nice vehicles too, you know, and you don't need to go on fancy vacations. I remember her just giving me a list of all the things that kids don't need and wives don't need. And you especially don't need if you're home. And, you know, it was just a list of things, and it's just a shift in our mentality in what we think we deserve and we need. And, you know, we grew up in a generation that was not plugged in. We were not on the internet. We didn't have all of this influence like these younger families do now, like Hunter, you know, where it's like, this is what your house should look like, and this is what your child's nursery should look like. And, you know, you can only put three kids in a room because then that wouldn't be fair. You know, and she was like, we had a girl's room and a boy's room. And as many as we had, that's where you went. And that's where you slept until you got married and you left the house. Like, I mean, there was no fixing up and remodeling unless if something was drastically wrong, like a floor rotted out or something. There was no anything for appearances, you know, but it was comfortable and it was clean and everybody was satisfied and they worked hard and they had character and they loved each other and they spent a lot of time together, all their time together. And there was just so much from that I took and I just did the best I could to try to apply that to our family, you know. And like I said, we did have the privilege of, you know, when I was raising the first three, you know, we didn't have YouTube and Instagram. I'm not on Instagram anyway, but you can use those things for good too. Find things like Matt was saying, if you don't have a father influence, find a good godly man that you can listen to, you know, find a handful of them that you can listen to. Find somebody who's already where you want to be in life and follow that person for inspiration. And I definitely use it for me as a mom to get inspiration to be encouraged and just to stay on track.
And it's unfortunate, but you take advantage of what's available. Mm-hmm. Ideally and idyllically,
I think I know what you're going to say,
is it would be much better and more practical if you had these people IRL.
Yeah.
You know, preferably if these people were at your church.
Exactly. Your local church.
Yeah.
Yep.
This would be the ideal.
Yep.
But if they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find somebody. And this is what I mean. This is what I mean by what we're illustrating to our children. So you're raising your children. You're both working. So obviously that's important.
Yeah.
And then probably if you're both working, somebody's probably working on Sunday, if not all the time, some of the time, and you're illustrating the reality. Like you can say one thing, if you do another, what you actually do is what you really believe. You know, you can have all this lip service, you know, that's what the entire book of James is about, right? So you can have all this lip service, but what you do is the practicality. Like you can, once again, you can exegete and stay and go verse by verse, but if it doesn't practically impact your daily life and you can't illustrate it, then it's, relatively speaking, it's irrelevant. It's all in the head, you know, and it doesn't impact or change what? Society. Because society is, our children are members of society, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I worked and Faith worked, then our kids would understand that is what they want to model and emulate, because that is what mom and dad believe.
Yeah.
Now, son, if you can, you know, try to keep your wife at home. Well, you and mom never did that.
Yeah.
Like how, well, you know, we
rules
didn't,
for the,
we didn't, we, me. Right. We didn't want to sacrifice that much. I mean, y'all weren't that important. I mean, well, you were that important. And you know, how was I going to buy your soccer uniforms?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And how was I going to buy your private Christian school uniforms so that you could all look like a little worker cog bee at the, you know, socialist communist mill, or you could have that mini, that weird plaid mini skirt that matches your khaki polo shirt at your private Christian school.
And you all wave at each other like this.
We've been deep captured. And the reality is what you actually do. And look, you don't do everything right all the time.
No,
you know, we try, fail, adjust, we make mistakes, we apologize, we repent.
Yeah.
We grow
and we grow, we apologize, we repent and we grow. And preferably we don't regress and digress.
Yeah.
And learn from your mistakes. And just, you know, lower ourselves into the slop of the pig pen or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that is what, if you're going to teach and train your children, you're going to have to do it by illustrative, practical example of you living it out. And there's no other way to do it. And some stupid school teacher, I promise you, is not going to do it and can't do it. And that illustration of you driving them there or putting them on some stupid cheese wagon, I used to have to walk to my bus stop, and there was 40 kids in my bus stop, and there was some scary kids in my bus stop, and I was afeared, right? And I didn't, and where talk did, about
where debauched. Did you, where in the school bus did you sit?
Wherever I could, wherever they would leave me alone. And it was scurry, y'all. And I'm just saying, if you illustrate that for your kids, you're never there. Okay. There's no vacation. There's no widget. There's no gidget. There's no gizmo. There's no size house. There's no boat.
Nope.
You're never going to be able to circumvent the practical illustration that you're presenting to your kids.
And then also when your parents get older, mm-hmm. and they need your help, you know, and they start fading, you're going to be like, well, y'all didn't really care that much for me. You know, like
you farm me out.
You kind of farm me out. So I'm going to farm you out.
Yeah,
you know, true. Like I love you and everything like that, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, I'm busy with this and my work and my wife works and mm-hmm. I got to run my kids to baseball practice and I just don't got time for you, mm-hmm. but I still love you. I'll come to the home and, you know, kiss you and everything like that. But, you know, I'm going to farm you out.
Yeah. There's definitely an order to follow. And I think we are just speaking from experience. You can't have gritty children, whether that be girls in their femininity and being gritty, or boys in their masculinity and being gritty. You can't have the advice I just gave you for my grandmother, what a perfect illustration of a gritty woman with gritty advice. However, you couldn't have found a more lady running the home, going above and beyond, doing everything that needed to be done in her husband's business, just everything for her family and her children. So that type of grit requires sacrifice. And you can't have those things without having without having the two flip sides, femininity and masculinity. And that is the compliment.
Yeah. That's the complementarianism is that you can't have the complementarianism without the patriarchy, which is the masculine leadership. Mm-hmm. And we need to actually learn what the definitions of words are and get an 1828 dictionary, because the words change, you know, just look up Semitism and all that stuff. But I don't want to go down that rabbit trail either. And I always try to get sucked down these censorship rabbit trails.
Sorry.
But
hey, Chuck, that's a guy that we did some work for. Hey. Actually, he's a customer.
That's awesome.
Robin wants to know, when you're coming home, son. I don't know what that means, but soon, Ma. Okay. Work ethic as a team, you know, and this is where we are thoroughly convinced, and what we've experienced and demonstrated. And it's my opinion that a slower, more intentional, agrarian type lifestyle is really required, because once again, if you live in this synthesized concrete system, whether it's a cul-de-sac, whether it's a neighborhood, one, there's a lot of undue influences that are completely out of your control.
Yeah.
And then there's lots of other things, but there's no freedom of movement, you know, and your kids can't be feral. Your kids need to be feral for the same reason that they don't want to sit at that government school desk, right? And they need Adderall.
That is not a natural thing for a little boy to sit down at a desk for more than an hour or two. And even then, I loved how Nick was saying it about his little boys. He said, if they start getting fidgety, he tells them to go run laps around his house and come back inside. And that's literally what we did when we were little. Mom would say, hey, you're being too much.
Go run
10 laps around the house, come back inside and sit down. And we would do that and it would work. And we would get a little bit of that energy out.
How did she know that it would work?
Because they are my genetics.
Oh, because they're your kids. So you know your kids.
And she was present. too at the time.
And that's why you know your kids, because you're present. Two, you were there and you knew what would resolve their issue and you implemented it and it worked.
And you didn't have to give them drugs. You didn't give us any drugs.
And you didn't have to pay anybody to tell them to do that. You could do that yourself.
Nope. Yep.
And it's that, okay, to say it's that simple. It is that simple. It's not that easy.
No.
And there's lots of things. I mean, over the years raising little boys, and I'm sure it could be this way, maybe if you have an active little girl too, or, you know, a fidgety little girl. But, you know, there was lots of different things that I had the freedom and flexibility to do because I was home all day. We had total time freedom. So, you know, I had no limitations other than whatever limitations I put on ourselves for the day. So if I would say, okay, we're going to work for 5 minutes and then we're going to be done and set the timer for 5 minutes and then we're going to go play. And then an hour later, we're going to come back and work for 5 minutes. I mean, sometimes that was a strategy when they were little, or we're going to do one page and then we're going to be done. And then we're going to go play and whatever, and we'll come back and we'll do another page. And then that's it. Like, there's so much, you can just make it up and you can just roll with it and figure it out until you figure out your children or until they mature past certain little things. You don't have that in any type of school setting. There's no school setting that you have that. And you definitely don't have like that one-on-one, that mother that can nurture that child, that can give attention to that child, kiss, hug, give affection to that child. Yeah. Like, all of that stuff is critically important, and not just 0 to 5. Like, that is important all the way through.
Yeah. Just be like, even being, you know, my age, 19, and being able to walk in the house and several times a day, your mom being there, even though we're working pretty much full-time jobs, you know, in and out, you know, during the week. And then like when you're walking, when you're up in the morning doing Bible studies with them, or when you are whatever, you know, just passing through the house, and then just being able to hear your mom say, oh, I love you, you know, and you can give her a hug whenever you want, you know, that I think a lot of young men out there, I don't know, it's been a weird thing that they've been ashamed on thing to like act like, like, oh yeah, I love my mom, but I'm not going to act like I love my mom around other people. Right. Like, I'm not going to, I would never hug my mom in front of somebody else, you know, or say, oh, I love you, mom, you know, because I would look like a little boy or something, which is just a terrible thing, you know, show affection.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, it goes with it too, you know, we have to encourage independence and build on the strength of each child. And for boys, they definitely need that admiration of their father. They need they need to have a dad that they look up to, that he's their hero here on this earth. He does all of the things that they aspire to do. Maybe not in job, but he works hard, he provides, he does all of these things, he leads spiritually, he seeks the Lord. They need to have that. And then in the flip side, boys growing up from the time that they're little all the way up to men need to have that mother to encourage them and to be admiring them and be that woman figure to be like, wow, that's amazing. You did that. Like, how did you do that? I don't know how you did that. And to have that admiration for them, that builds them up as men so that they can gain that confidence that they need to be able to perform as men when they leave the house and all of that. So they need both. They need the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah.
Just,
You know, people say, how do your boys, you know, how do they, you know, they're so entrepreneurial and, you know, how did you get them to do that? Well, I'm entrepreneurial. I did it.
Yeah.
And they saw the example and they modeled it. This is very simple, not easy, simple, requires an inordinate amount of sacrifice And as a father and as a patriarch and as a leader and as the sole provider, you know, by the grace of God, you know, that was another thing. Like, even when I had jobs and was an employee, like, my money comes from God.
Yeah.
I serve God and I work for God with all my strength, soul, and might. Mm-hmm. And fire me. Like, my money isn't tied to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My money ain't tied to you. It's not tied to a company. Yeah. Fire me. Like, I was, you know, oh, how do you do that? How do you work for commission only? And what? Because my money comes from God. Mm. Like, my source is God, and I hone my craft and my skills, and I work probably too hard and focus too much and spend too much time in the middle of the night thinking about stuff instead of sleeping. Right. And my boys do that because that's what I did.
Yeah.
Now they do, you know, I haven't done everything right, and they do stuff that I wish they didn't do. That's also stuff that I did. So, you know, and I take full responsibility for that. And
I'm unaware of any of these things.
Well, no, unfortunately you're aware, you get to experience it. But anyway, we're all human beings, and
we all have, failings.
Yeah, we all.
Oh, yeah, they don't. I mean, they all have strengths.
Well, that's like literally every job we've had for the last, like, since we've had the construction company, us boys, we tried to be a really, really good testimony. And I'm not joking. Every single job, before we end the job and wrap up, they always ask, do y'all ever fight?
No.
And I'm like, we do. We do fight.
But just not in front of you.
Just not in front of you. But no, you know, but we're at the fight.
That's
what I said. That's why I actually told the lady today.
Not
I was like
this fight. Just when trying to be
now,
clear
they argue. Now when we argue, we try to more, it's more of a debate than an mm-hmm. argument, because with a debate, we're trying to come to, we're trying to find a solution to the problem, mm-hmm. you know, no matter whose idea it is. You know, we're just we're arguing as a team together for one goal, to figure out how to solve this problem, mm-hmm. you know, and normally we try to get that over with in a civil manner back at the house.
Right.
In a way that is 99% of the time, you know, ends good. I mean, and also, like, we're super gritty guys too. So, like, even if it didn't end super well, we forgive each other really easily. Sure. We do not. That's the one thing us brothers do, is like, we can have an argument and kind of be mad at each other, but within 20, 30 minutes, we're fine. Like, I personally don't ever hold grudges, mm-hmm. because it's stupid.
Yeah.
To do that, because relationship wise, to do that and then to add on, be like, oh, well, he did this and he did that. Mm-hmm. Don't you remember, like, a month ago when you did? No, mm-hmm. you don't do that, because God doesn't do that.
Right.
You know? And so I try. And then also, me being the oldest, I have to be an example to them too. So if I'm riding their tail, making arguments all the time, yelling, screaming, whatever, fill in the blank, you know, then there, it's going to be a ripple effect, and they will 10x that.
Right.
It'll be chaos. It will be chaos. Yeah.
Right. And that's one thing that I know we definitely, somebody was asking what books. It was from Titus 2 website. I'll try to find it and link it for you. But the website, the parents are way older now. All of their children are grown, and I think they've all left the house. They had a huge family. But the website was Titus and the number 2, I think it's just .com. They just have a few books and, like, some calendars and charts. I never really used her charts. Like, she has chore charts that are really neat for, like, all different age groups and different things. But I never really did any of that. We just made our own chore charts.
We're too free spirited when it comes to some of that structure stuff.
Yeah. But some people really love chore charts and things like that. But anyway, she has, like, housekeeping charts, I think, for different mom scenarios and stuff. Anyway, they have a couple books. They only wrote, like, maybe 3 books.
And it's about the Maxwells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same books that we had. One was Raising Boys for a Single Family Income. Raising Boys to Provide a Single Family Income, I think.
Rip has six and under the age of eight. Well, God bless you, brother.
That is awesome.
Check you out.
That is awesome. Do you have any girls in the mix? That's what you have to let us know.
Wowzer.
If you have some girls, then you'll have some saving grace in
Rip,
that.
You're legit. I always say, you know, I tell people, I'm like, dude, until they outnumber you, it's a joke.
It is a joke.
Oh, my God, two kids. It's so hard. No. Three. They have to at least outnumber you.
Yeah.
And then that's when it starts to get legit.
It starts to get legit.
Well, you hit the three it's mark. Really crazy when it's three under three. Yeah. That's when it gets crazy.
Yeah. And we did that
and
twice.
We did it twice.
We did that twice.
And we were crazy both times. Yeah. And we still suffered the effects.
That's crazy times. But no, it's a blessing. It's all a blessing. And yeah, I don't know what else we were going to say about it. But yeah, I think that.
Three girls in a row, then three boys in a row.
Oh, that's funny. You got that's the hilarious. Girls older? Wow. Oh, you're good. You're so good. You got three little mommies there.
Oh, yeah. That are gonna, so you planned that out right.
Yeah, you did that right. You did that right. You would only need one girl.
We are tired.
You would only need one girl in that mix. Yeah, she's going to, you got three.
I was feeling real awake, and then I'm like, wow, now I feel tired. That is how tired.
I'm sure he's younger than us, honey.
Yeah, I hope he's younger than us.
Oh my. Yeah, so I guess that's what we could encourage y'all on tonight is just the things that we talked about, you know, just little things, finding practical things, finding real life examples, whether it's on YouTube or in a book somewhere.
Yeah.
Find what your end goal is and look at it and critique it and make sure that's what you want. And then go there, like then pursue it with all that you got. And, you know, you're going to mess up. And somebody said it kind of looks like this, like when you're climbing a mountain, you know, when you're raising children, it's like up, down, sure. up, down. But over the span of 18, 20 years, you went up, you got there, but you were going like this the whole time. You know, it's the Christian life. It's just, you know, you can get discouraged at certain points and be like, wow, I thought we were doing good, you know.
Well, you know, and hey, I wanted to do it faster and I wanted to get there faster. And that, you know, you got to make money slow. It's the same thing. The principles don't change.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to make money. You make it slow. Yeah. It's easy to lose money. You lose it fast.
Super fast.
And, you know. The principles are the same and God is still on the throne and principles still work and truth, immortal, unchangeable truth is still the same as real as when you drop something, hits the ground. Notice I didn't use the term gravity because, you know, there's the ether, there's lots of different ideas.
Sure.
But if you drop something,
it will hit the ground.
It's going to hit the ground every time.
Every time.
And that's truth. So, did we want to just wrap it up?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We've somehow been kind of long as a tooth.
Yeah. We went for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. And after all the garbledygook and the bad
that's
audio.
That's why I deleted 10 minutes.
Yeah. We'll try again. We'll try to actually start something that starts right. And then
at least we're not getting hacked.
We love and appreciate y'all. This is a value for value proposition. Please go on over to thetexasboys.com, support our sponsors, to the Fearless Podcast. Yeah. If you need fruit trees, go to foodforestnursery.com.
If you need any organic coffee, you can go over to thetexasboys.com. There's also raw, unpasteurized honey. Also, coming very soon, I'm going to update it. The 5 pounds will be restocked over there. I know they were out of stock because they sold out. Also, there is the Native Brew. There's CBD coffee. There's Lion's Mane coffee. All types of cool stuff over there. And that's from several different other homesteads that we support. And we put it over there on thetexasboys.com. So there you go.
All right, y'all. Thanks for spending your evening with us.
Yeah. And thank y'all so much.
See y'all on the next video.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Y'all have a good night.